Old Board were Paula Small, Michael Papadopoulos, Hadrian Machiche, S.W. Konser, Mark Brown, Lynn Mullick, Lisa Loving, Jeff Kippelman, John Mackey, Damon Isaiah Turner, Matthew Bristow, and Rabia Yaman. Officers and directors of the new board are Matthew Bristow, Adine Rogovin, Mark Sherman, Susan Bartlett, Joe Uris, Jennifer Davis, Michael Wells, Lynn Mullick, S.W. Konser, Michael Papadopoulos, Timothy Welp, and Jeff Kippelman. A copy of the application and related materials are available for public inspection at KBOO's main studio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. The KBOO Foundation, licensee of non-commercial FM radio station KBOO 90.7, Portland, Oregon, gives notice that on October 29, 2013, an application, FCC Form 315, for consent to transfer control of the license from the old board to the new board of directors was filed with the Federal Communications Commission. Officers and directors of the old board were Paula Small, Michael Papadopoulos, Hadrian Machiche, S.W. Konser, Mark Brown, Lynn Mullick, Lisa Loving, Jeff Kippelman, John Mackey, Damon Isaiah Turner, Matthew Bristow, and Rabia Yaman. Officers and directors of the new board are Matthew Bristow, Adine Rogovin, Mark Sherman, Susan Bartlett, Joe Uris, Jennifer Davis, Michael Wells, Lynn Mullick, S.W. Konser, Michael Papadopoulos, Timothy Welp, and Jeff Kippelman. A copy of the application and related materials are available for public inspection at KBOO's main studio at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., Monday through Friday.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, November 8th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Your radio, because you make this happen. It's your support, and we thank you for your support. The fall membership drive was an astounding success, though we shouldn't say that because we know that you always, always come through for us. Well, whistleblowers are under attack, but wait a minute. Is it 100% U.S. grade A harassment on the part of the Obama administration, or is the government acting at the behest of corporations? That's an important thing to think about now as we see the rise of corporate power in government. We're going to be speaking today with Tom Carpenter of Heart of the Northwest, and we're going to be speaking also with Ray McGovern. We began a conversation with Ray early in the week, and we are going to take that up again and consider the corporatization of the attack on whistleblowers. Naturally, corporations don't like to actually come out in the light of day. We know that Alec is a shy creature, a furtive creature. And so we know that very often that they've got a thumb on the scale when it comes to things of this sort. And the Supreme Court has handed down an epic decision on workplace discrimination. Oh, around the other side of the world, there is a superstorm that's sending winds upwards of 300 kilometers per hour crashing over small islands in the Philippines. More around Cascadia also, but first the weather. Isolated showers today, here and there, mostly cloudy. Obviously, otherwise you wouldn't have the showers, right? With a high near 53 and light southwest winds for tonight. Overcast skies, lows around 45. And Saturday, only a very slight chance of rain, highs near 52. And Saturday night, it's 50-50. with regard to precipitation in the low around 46. Sunday, again, chance of showers in areas around Cascadia and around this hour, immediate bioregion. Highs near 57, and Sunday night mostly cloudy, lows around 44, which brings us full circle to Monday and Veterans Day, which dawns with patchy fog, as it should. That's the alternative forecast, mostly, for the most part, holding steady. We're waxing crescent. We've got waxing crescent moon. I don't have that for you right now. We'll get back to the alternative forecast next week. But basically, it is all indications holding about the same. And that said, we want to speak now with Tom Carpenter, with Heart of the Pacific Northwest. He has been in Walter Termasitis' court right from the get-go. Walter Termasitis, as many listeners know, is the Hanford whistleblower who called to some safety issues to the attention of his corporate overlords, whereupon he was... let's have Tom tell you about it, because it's a rather sordid story, and in this case it's quite obvious that it is corporations that are going after a whistleblower who very likely has saved many lives further on down the road. Good morning, Tom, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, there's a trial right now, and of course the government entities say that they had nothing to do with it. That they, they were involved in this, and the corporations say that Walter Termasitis was not being punished as a whistleblower, despite the fact that he was, after he delivered his climactic report. He was frog marched by two goons, Bechtel goons, out of the building, not allowed to return. His office was locked, and he was not allowed to retrieve his personal belongings. And it went downhill from there. So, this latest trial, where has that advanced the play?
Right. So, starting in July of 2010, Dr. Termasitis, who has 40 years' experience and has a PhD in an engineering degree and a chemical degree, et cetera, chemistry degree. So he's one of the top guys in the country. He raised safety concerns and issues about the possibility of hydrogen gas explosions at a nuclear facility at the Hanford site. And for this, as you mentioned, he was removed from the project. And the corporations you're talking about here are Bechtel. Bechtel National, which runs the waste treatment plant, and URS Corporation, another big engineering construction firm based out of San Francisco. And they also have offices in South Carolina and Oak Ridge and Tennessee and other places like that. So Walt worked for URS. So here's what URS says. It says, it said in court yesterday, "Oh, well, it wasn't us, Your Honor. It was Bechtel ordered us to get rid of Walt Termasitis. And we only did that because we had to." And the result of that was the judges, three panel judges, looking at them incredulously and saying, "Really? So you think it's okay for you to just follow orders and fire someone? What if this person that they ordered to be removed was black because they didn't like black people? Would that be okay? Would you be free of liability then?" They didn't have a good answer for that, as you can imagine. But most astonishingly, the Department of Energy, which is a government agency, was sitting at the council table for these corporations. And their lawyer for them marched right up and argued that the case should be dismissed and that the Department of Energy shouldn't be a part of this case, arguing technicalities, et cetera, et cetera. And here's what the judges said to her. The attorney for the Department of Energy, they said, if you ordered someone to be fired in a contractor, and the contractor then points to you, and you're not held accountable, doesn't that just mean that there is no such thing as whistleblower protection? in so many words.
And that's exactly it. I want to let you know that we've got Ray McGovern also on the line, and he will be joining us also to talk about this. What is at issue here is, for the most part, when the corporate interests are calling the shots, and the government is treating whistleblowers to extraordinary legal measures, and harassment is ongoing. Generally, it looks to the average person that here we've got the government doing these things. Well, in fact, it is the corporations which are, in fact, wagging the dog and essentially calling the shots, and they've got their hands right up the government, using it as a puppet in order to advance their own interests. So it appears, well, I'm curious as to how much of that is going on. In this is a very unique instance where it's absolutely blatant that it's the corporations that are, in fact, calling the shots. So we're in a very different world, perhaps more dangerous world. Ray McGovern knows a great deal about how the government has, in the past, been... has gone after whistleblowers. And the corp, I'm wondering how this happened. And it's probably a gradual process. But Ray, if you're there and would like to join in on this, the fact that the corporations now are an international, not just American, this means very, very heavy hitters from around the world are essentially calling the shots here. Either one of you, please, I want to hear your thoughts.
I think you're on to something very critical here. It's not only the calling the shots by the corporations, but the government is in such need of help from the corporations that we have a situation where the government, the corporations, the national security apparatus, the media, and even the Congress, they're all enmeshed in this little coil. And if you look at it closely, it's not very far from the classic definition that Mussolini gave to fascism. Do not blanch before the word.
Well, sure, yeah. It is fascism. I mean, it's straight up. But as long as we have this illusion... it's bad enough that we have the illusion of the government saying that it's protecting whistleblowers when, in fact, it's cracking down. But the notion that corporate interests from around the global corporate interests are behind it, that's really chilling. And how do we go about rectifying the situation?
Well, I think we need to hold everyone's feet to the fire here. What we have is an incredible advantage in this country. It's called the Constitution of the United States. Now, as a young Army officer, gosh, 50 years ago, I took a solemn oath to protect and defend that Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, it should not sound quaint or obsolete that I found that promise binding, and that Ed Snowden also found it binding. When Ed Snowden saw that the Fourth Amendment, which protects people from unreasonable searches and seizures, and says that they cannot happen without a court warrant, without a warrant that is based on, guess what, probable cause, with a definition of the particulars obtaining with respect to the place to be searched or the person or things to be seized. End quote. That's what the amendment says. There is no way in God's heaven that what NSA is doing and has been doing for years now will square with that Fourth Amendment. Where's the probable cause? Are we all probably terrorists, or are we all probably criminals of some kind? I don't think so. Not all of us, anyway.
All they have to do is define as to such. Anyone, if they decide that a citizen is an anarchist have black clothing and some books, then they have written themselves a free ticket to go after that individual or individuals. I want to keep Tom in the conversation, because the Hanford situation is so bizarre. This is a whistleblower situation where, quote, the corporations haven't even bothered with normal CYA precautions. They've gone off after this man relentlessly, and they continue to do it again. As Walter Tam cites, the constitutional rights. No one has spoken of this, and no one. It has to be addressed.
Well, there's two things to say on this. One is, it goes farther than you portray, because the government, the Department of Energy, is actually paying the attorney's fees for these big corporations. Bechtel makes $30 billion in revenue last year, $30 billion. And yet the government is paying millions of dollars to that corporation and to URS to, you know, fight Dr. Tamasitis, and they've done so for a couple of years, and they probably will continue to do so. And it's like, wow, what about the optics of that? And the second thing to say is that there's a much bigger principle at stake here, which is that if they can go and remove and fire someone like Dr. Tamasitis, a highly respected, nationally recognized engineer, who's been proven right in his concerns, by the way, validated even by the Department of Energy, then what about the other engineers and workers out there who also see safety concerns? What is the message to them? And the message is obvious. It's shut up and keep your head down and do not challenge this corporation. If you do, you're done. Your career is over. Your family's, you know, in pieces. Your neighbors won't talk to you. And the government will fund the campaign against you like you're an enemy of the state for telling the truth. That's what's going on at the Hanford site right now.
Tom, hang on. We're a bit into overtime here. If each of you has just a final brief closing thought to leave listeners with.
Ray, go ahead.
Just your closing thought that you might,